Dr. David Botzensperger, if I got that correct, from Texas.
Since this is the Texas address, it should start with, howdy. No, that's a poor response. Howdy. Welcome to Texas. We operate in Texas as part of the Texas A&M University system, and that system has more than 100,000 students. About 49, and this year actually really close to 50,000, are on the main campus at Texas A&M in College Station. There are 14 colleges at the Texas A&M main campus. Just more of a graphical summary of it, the Texas A&M system, there are 9 universities around the state, plus a health science center, plus 7 state agencies. And one of those state agencies happens to be Texas AgriLife Research, which is part of Texas AgriLife, which includes the College of Agriculture and Life Sciences, Texas AgriLife Research, Texas AgriLife Extension Service, Texas Veterinary Medical Diagnostic Lab, and the Texas Forest Service. These state agencies are all separate line item budgets, which is a challenge in the Texas system. That forms the land grant mission there with teaching, extension, research, and service. Just a little more breakdown of some of the basics and the facts. The College of Agriculture and Life Sciences has 14 academic departments, 330 faculty members, 6,470 for an enrollment in the college, and 5,100 of those are undergraduates and 1,300 are graduate students. Good deal of the Texas AgriLife Research is 13 research and extension centers, 859 contracts and grant awards, $68 million in contracts and grants, $171 million in total expenditures, and 380 faculty located statewide with 7 institutes. Texas AgriLife Extension includes 950 professional extension across Texas and 14.1 million direct teaching exposures in Texas in 2007. Whoa. When we look at those 14 departments, the broad spectrum, ag econ, ag leadership, animal science, biochemistry, biophysics, biological and ag engineering, ecosystem science and management, which is a combination of what used to be forestry and range, entomology, horticulture sciences, nutrition and food sciences, plant pathology and microbiology, poultry science, recreation, parks and tourism sciences, the soil and crop sciences department, not only because I'm chair, but because it's the one that's most affiliated with these meetings, I will highlight to give some examples of some of the things that we go through, and the wildlife and fishery sciences. There are 13 research and extension centers across Texas and 16 stations, farms, and facilities. At the research and extension centers, typically there will be 10 to 30 faculty there spread across extension and research, and we'll go through a bit more on that. The farms have no scientists particularly located at them, but have support staff that manage everything from row crop production to specific activities in range and beef cattle research. Texas AgriLife Research is directed by Dr. Craig Nessler and Associate Director Bill McCutcheon and David Lunt. And Bill pretty much does our molecular work and plant work, and Dr. Lunt does pretty much our animal science work. A wide spectrum of research, from molecular work to feeding cattle to germplasm work to wildlife work within AgriLife Research. Just a little bit of background. I'd said that part of the Texas A&M system was that there are 9 other universities. 5 of those universities offer ag degrees. And so they have 4-year ag programs in addition to that. Plus, Texas Tech University, which you'll hear more about, is also a partner with us in many activities. Extension is, as I said, broadly located across the state, including at the research and extension centers, but also in most of the counties. So we have broad coverage. Service, which is largely our Forest Service, and they've been the busiest service in Texas this year because they're the ones that are in charge of putting out the fires, and we have had a lot of fires with the drought and burned a lot of acres of Texas. Research, within the boundaries of Texas and under the auspices of Texas AgriLife Research, we can replicate production conditions for most parts of the world. We're not very good at alpine work. But when we get down to below 4,000 feet in elevation, all the way down to sea level, from pretty arid conditions to pretty moist conditions, less than 7 inches to more than 50 inches. So we have a spectrum across the state. The statewide impact is shown here with all of the things on the same map. So the Texas AgriLife system as a whole has a lot of folks spread around Texas. When we talk about international impact, we're heavily involved through AgriLife Research across the world. We have activities in 101 countries. $70 million portfolio in contracts and grants and international development projects, the largest of which would be in Afghanistan, Iraq, and now Sudan. So we're heavily oriented in the war zones and heavily funded from the Department of Defense. Texas AgriLife Research was established in 1888 under the Hatch Act to conduct basic and translational research, the same as all the others. Research impact examples. We've worked on omega-3 fatty acids and to show the benefits from research are accrued by consumers through the impact of those on cancer. 2, working in economics as part of global climate change, where Bruce McCarl's been part of the Nobel Prize for that work. Maintains the largest and most characterized library collection of bacterial samples in the state and one of the largest in the world. We're also heavily involved in applied application of small grain varieties, and our varieties are highly grown throughout the hard red winter wheat area. Involved in developing fruits and vegetables with increased levels of cancer-fighting compounds. In the last 5 years, we've had a dramatic increase in our relationship with corporate partners, and many of those have now been renewed, and so we continue in 2011 to grow that relationship with corporate partners. But starting in 2008, we made a commitment to start working much more heavily with corporate partners in a much tighter relationship that's contract-driven. And that's been a big change and a big challenge for our scientists as we've moved into that. We have in the bioenergy program more than 40 projects with a portfolio value of about $40 million, and a big chunk of that is through those corporate partners, including Ceres and Chevron and General Atomics and the work with algae in the state of Texas. And many USDA agencies are also participants in that. I'd mentioned earlier that the Soil and Crop Sciences Department is the largest department as far as interaction with this society, and so I wanted to go through just a little bit about the department and how it's structured and what it gives to give you an example of how we manage the experiment station in Texas. So this is a lot of this will just be about the Soil and Crop Sciences Department. It was formed or named in 1958. We existed as agronomy department before that. But agronomy and horticulture were merged in 1958, and we became a soil and crop sciences department. In 1976, horticulture re-emerged as its own department, and we were left as crop sciences without horticulture. That's how we define ourselves, crop sciences without horticulture. That's a challenge. And within that, we have continued to operate. I wanted to give you just a little idea of the faculty that are involved in soil and crop sciences across the state. We have about half of our faculty on the main campus located at College Station, and most of those have at least some AgriLife research appointment. As we look at the northwest part of Texas, we have Amarillo and Lubbock and Vernon. Amarillo is primarily going to be oriented towards research within our department on wheat. It is where our wheat, one of our centers of excellence in wheat is located. Jackie Rudd's the lead wheat breeder there, but we have others. Vernon is primarily dryland cropping systems. And Lubbock is the heart of cotton country with 3 million acres of cotton not too far from Lubbock. It spends a lot of focus and effort on cotton. Just highlight those that are asterisked here in this column, and including the position that Kevin Bronson will be refilling in soil fertility, are joint with Texas Tech. So AgriLife Research provides some of their research support, but their teaching appointments for those faculty are with Texas Tech. That's a rather unique relationship across the country those faculty wind up with three bosses, a department head in College Station, a department head in Texas at Lubbock, and a center director in Lubbock. And so we do a joint evaluation of those faculty. We have the Beaumont Eagle Lake area in southeast Texas, which is where we have our rice research and our focus on rice. Beeville is a satellite of the Corpus Christi Center, which is for beef cattle and forage research, but Corpus focuses more on coastal row crop production. Uvalde, we have had a dryland cropping system specialist there, and Weslaco, down in the southern tip down here, has been where our sugarcane research has focused. When we look at the East region, we have Commerce, and the faculty there have joint appointments with Commerce for teaching, just like the ones at Texas Tech. And so their research is funded through AgriLife Research, but their teaching is through Texas A&M Commerce. At Dallas, our focus is on turfgrass research, and at Overton, the focus is on forage and beef cattle interface research. Stephenville, we have soils and forage work, and at Temple, we have one of the leading modeling teams in the country located at Temple, interacting with the ARS group there. So with that, I want to talk a little bit. El Paso is out west. San Angelo is out there. Heavy influence on salt tolerance and that type of effort with drought cropping systems at San Angelo. Within our department, we focus on the sustainability of food, feed, and fiber and fuel in a safe and aesthetically pleasing environment. We have been growing in the department up until this year. I won't show you the 2011 budget because I'm still not sure how much it's going to be cut. But I can tell you it's down. And the expenditures will be reported at the end of the year, so we're just getting started. But our expenditures will not be as great this year. We focus on plant breeding, genetics, biotechnology, crop physiology, agronomy, forage, turf, cereal chemistry, soil science, weed science, natural resources, environmental science, crop, water, soil, and ecology. Big changes for us have included corporate funding, endowed giving, undergraduate numbers have been increasing, graduate numbers of students have been increasing. We've expanded bioenergy research, water research, environmental research. So what you wouldn't see there is the decrease in production research. We've had a terrible time finding funding for production research, and it continues to decrease. I already talked about corporate funding, but it's also a big part of our department. Wanted to talk a little bit about Dr. Norman Borlaug. He's former distinguished faculty member in our department and a Nobel Prize winner, Congressional Medal of Honor winner, started the World Food Prize. He's made a big impact, and managing his legacy has been part of the challenge of AgriLife Research, to focus on how we make a difference. You heard Dr. Benzinger's talk this morning on working internationally and the new futures there, but for A&M to be a part of that is a big challenge. I mentioned that biggest challenges have been our corporate partnerships that we've established, and we have big ongoing 5 to 10 year relationships with Scotts, Monsanto, Chevron, Ceres, General Atomics. And the management of intellectual property, the management of secrets, in a public information where somebody can send a request and get every email I wrote without any problem. And so managing what are supposedly confidential relationships is a big challenge with our system and figuring out what's legal and what's not. Our mission has always been led by the land grant mission, and we still follow it. We still, as a department, are promoting the wise use, management, stewardship of soil, plant, and water resources by preparing students for careers in soil, plant, and environmentally related disciplines. We have roughly 152 undergraduate students, 132 graduate students, and more than 95 faculty across the state of Texas. Last year, I think it was 107 faculty across the state of Texas, which has to do with budget reductions. We are still one of the largest departments in the system. We're one of the largest departments in the nation. We offer degrees in master's and doctorate degrees and bachelor's degrees in almost everything in our field. Within plant breeding and genetics, activity in most major crops, new activity in bioenergy crops, a very large portion of Texas is planted to material either directly released by AgriLife Research or released by AgriLife Research and improved by private companies, i.e. a trait's been added. Wheat is currently the most widely utilized direct release material. Crop quality, improved quality of wheat, sorghum, and corn, tremendous impact on the utilization of those crops. Specific end-use products, long-term effects on tortillas, closely linked with breeding and management groups, and some shared appointments with Nutrition and Food Science Department have been worked out and are challenges. In soils, soil science discipline coverage, soil chemistry, all the way to soil pedology, nutrient recommendations for every crop in the state, basic soil science for everything from building to feed additives, one of the largest soil sciences groups in the world. In agronomy, we focus on weed science, crop physiology, crop management, production practices for every crop in the state, and expanding work in bioenergy crops. We think we have a bright future. There are many alternatives out there. One of the big ones is finding a way for Texas and the South to be a player in bioenergy crops, exploring the opportunities from algae to high biomass production. And that's a big focus of our work. With that, are there any quick questions?
We got plenty of time for questions. So,
when you say you have faculty at your
their teaching. I mean, you'll hear about the teaching at Texas Tech, but all those faculty I listed are teaching and training graduate students at Texas Tech. The ones at Commerce are teaching and training graduate students at Texas A&M Commerce. But they have a research appointment that is funded through AgriLife. Okay? We have some distance courses. So one of the scientists at Texas Tech, Kevin Bronson, used to teach a distant soils course, but since he left, we're not getting, I think, any from shared positions. Other questions? Yes. Well, I've thought about that and debated a lot of different sides, and for those of you who know me well, if you argue one side, I'll be happy to argue the other. But I don't really have an answer on, you know, how it's going to impact. I think we face issues like as we become irrelevant in production agriculture, who is relevant? And it's obvious that it will be major companies. Those are the players that are giving the recommendations out, telling the producers how much to plant, what fertilizer to mix with it, and what to spray and when to spray it. And if we become irrelevant in that, it will be a different model than we've had the last 50 years. I've run positions of recent for production extension positions, some of the best positions in the country, and had up to 2 applicants. And so I can tell you that we're not training students because there's not funding in it. And so those companies are going to have trouble even finding people with the training if we don't find a way to turn that spigot on a bit. And I don't care what you say, somebody really, really well trained in biochemistry and molecular genetics out trying to hook up a corn planter or a cotton planter is a problem. That's, to me, one of the big challenges we face going forward. I'm open for answers. Yes, Jerry. But I did say I would be happy to argue. Well, I'm glad you asked that question, and hopefully, watch that clock, because I will be very honest. The last 5 years, I have recruited faculty and said, we treat people that don't have tenure very similarly to those that do, and we have a long track record of people without tenure being just as protected as those with tenure. This last year, we had modifications and people were terminated with 30 days notice that had been Regents professors and been in the system for 30 years as part of the RIF process. So I will say, fight for tenure. It matters. It makes a difference. Hang on to it. I think that's a good place to close with that upbeat message.
But we've got plenty of time, so we might as well.
Okay. If there's another question, I'm good for it.
So are you saying that with the reduction in production, that the industry is taking some of that on, but they also are having problems with...
Well, they take the recommendations on. they may not take the underlying research on and the comparative. They may take the marketing of their product on, but not necessarily the underlying comparative research of whether one's really better than another.
We're saying that farmers are turning to industry answers and not our own extension, because that's part of the program when you plant the seeds, and it's so integrated.
Yes. Well, thankfully, they are recognizing that, and I really think that, you know, on an optimistic point, I will say that many companies are starting to look at that and say, we're going to have to budget some research at universities in order to get people coming out the chute to hire. They did that in plant breeding 5 years ago, and we're seeing more plant breeders coming out all across the country because industry invested in the training programs. Even though they do a lot of the plant breeding, they still invested in training programs at universities so they would have people to hire. And I think there's some recognition of that in the production world that's starting to accrue, but it's got a lag time still. Yeah, let's stay ahead.
Any more?